open your Bible, Psalm 91. I'm going to go over again some of what I said last week to give it a little bit more padding, and then I'm also just going to I'm going to talk this week about what the heart of God's protection and safety is, because I know that we all need that, don't we? I love the words of grace here, that, and let's put them up on screen there, John, please. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Next. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. Is that not a good word this morning? No plague will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him, I'll protect him. Because he knows my name, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble, I'll rescue him, I will honor him. Did I get a good amen for this morning? With long life, amen, I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. What I said last week was this: God has always been the protector of his people. It is a lie that says that whenever you become a born-again believer today, that you take your chance like the rest of the world. You know, sometimes we think that. It's like, what about our children? What about our husbands? What about our wives? Whenever they leave the door, that palpable sense sometimes of fear and worry about what may happen to them. You know, when you have to go to the doctors, and, you know, I've only been to the doctors handful of times in my whole life, because I am fit as a fiddle. And so what I would tend to do is, if I feel a wee twinge, I Google it. Right? I know Dr. Google has you dead within the week. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I've got a sore toe, an itchy toe. Oh, for sure, get the hearse booked, because you're going to be in the ground next Tuesday with it. Oh, an itchy. And it, you know, and you get really worried, don't you? Anyone do that? Anyone ever Googled a complaint? And you think, oh my God, I'm a goner. Infamy. They've all got an infamy. And so I tend not to do that. And I tend to have an expectation of God's goodness in my life. And why I wanted to do this at the end of this year, going into next year, was I believe that we sing in this church all the time, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am no longer a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. But that's easy to sing. But oftentimes we go, well, where's the Bible for that? Because our experience is we know people and stuff happens. And so what it does is it puts into our head, well, if it happens to them, it could happen to me. Isn't that right? Why, what would make me so special? How do I live in it as somebody who loves God as a believer? Am I at the mercy of a broken world, or is God my protector? Am I at the mercy of men who make wicked plans, or is God my protector? Are my kids safe when they leave the house? Or do I need to be worried about where they're at, who they're with, and what they're doing? Is it possible that these words in Psalm 91 are there not just to fill in the space because the psalmist didn't know what else to write, a bit like coloring in just to, you know, fill in the... Or did they actually, is it the truth of God for you today? And what I said was that there's an incredible picture of grace in this. And next week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take next week just to take some of the things that are mentioned, like pestilence and pinions and all this stuff, and kind of make that into modern language. So this is what this means in real life. But today, I want to give you the absolute key, because when you look at this psalm, there's three times you're reminded that your protection flows from a place. And last week, I started to look at that. It's called the secret place, and I'll come to it in 1 minute. But I want to say this: God has always protected his own. Always. Back in Exodus 8:22, we read this: on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there. Flies in the Bible always represent the demonic. But in this case, this was in the middle of the actual plagues. And God said, I'll set apart Goshen, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus, I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. God says, I make a difference about you because you are my son. Okay? We get said, oh, well, God loves everyone. No, God does love everyone. The sacrifice of Jesus is for the whole world. But when you're in the family of God, when you bear his name, he makes a difference over you. As Bruce Forsyth says, you're all his favorites. Okay? He doesn't look at you and prefer you. You're all God's favorites. I can't stand Strictly Come Dancing. I don't know why I've just used that. Can we scrub that from the tape? I don't watch it, in case you're going, I knew he's a closet Strictly dancer. Watch her. Do you know what Penny wants for Christmas? I'm panicking. She's not here. She wants dancing lessons. Not for her, for me and her. Seriously. How am I going to get out of this one? Do you know what I was thinking of doing? I was thinking of like lying in the drive and putting my leg under the espace as she goes out. Seriously. She's going, all, what do you want for Christmas? All I want is dancing lessons. 10 weeks of dancing lessons. Samba and all. Oh. I'm like, oh, flipping, Nora. Beam me up, Lord. Second coming. Crazy. So the point is that God always protects. Do you know, can I just say, can we just clear it out now? It's not going to happen. All right? She will be disappointed when she opens her socks and slippers. But you know what? I can live with that on Christmas morning. So there's three names of God mentioned here. Remember I said this? It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God. Remember I said this last week. Elohim. God is the supreme person in position. The supreme in position. He then says, dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. It means absolute in power. And then he talks about salvation in the next verse coming out of that, Yahweh. So what I said was imagine, and just imagine this week, as you go through life, you have the God who is supreme in position, absolute in power, and full of salvation. That means the goodness of God, the healing of God, the fullness of God flowing out from him to you. Again, it's described like a refuge, and the word is a bunker. And what I said last week is whenever you go into a bunker, you know, I was in London in the underground a few weeks ago. And whenever you're in the underground, and people used to shelter in there, they didn't go into a bunker and stand with their hands against the walls trying to hold it up. When you're in a bunker, you simply rest, and the bunker takes the weight. So all of life and chaos can be going on above the bunker, but you simply sit and rest in it, and you're protected. That's the picture of God here, and I'm going to next week explain it in different areas of life. So what this psalm shows us is this, that in terms of your position, if you want to know how you start to operate in peace and safety and protection, it starts with your position. You need to be rooted and grounded as a son of God, okay? You need to be absolutely assured, because what this psalm shows us is that God deals with your position first. He starts by going, I am God Almighty. I am supreme. Lifts your head up straight away. What's your God like? What's your God? And I'm asking you a question. What's he like? Not able to protect? Not able to look after? Because God comes into your life this morning and goes, I am supreme in position. There's no one higher. There's no one greater. There's no one more powerful. And then he says, I am absolute in power. I can deliver you. I can protect you. I can hold you. And everything that you need comes from me. So he says to you this morning, if you're not starting there, okay, you're going to find all of this psalm quite difficult. You're going to find it quite difficult. In Ephesians 2, 4, and 6, it says this, that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and you have been raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the incoming ages he might show you the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to say is this, positionally today as you sit here, irrespective of your mess, irrespective of your sin, irrespective of your attitude, irrespective of your mistakes, you are as positionally high today as you will ever be. Isn't that awesome? Christ today is seated at the right hand of the Father, and spiritually speaking, you are exactly the same. And what that means is because that is your position, everything that is mentioned in this psalm is yours, okay? You don't earn it. You don't have to worry yourself for it. You don't need to beg God for it. Positionally, everything that you need is yours today. But it is true that you can sit outside of that by choice. It's not that God requires anything of you in order to benefit from this, but you can take yourself out of it. You can take yourself out of God's place of safety and protection if you want, even though he says, I will look after you every minute of the day. I'm going to explain how that happens, because this is sometimes where we get a little bit confused. Sometimes people go, well, you know, if God's just going to do it, he's just going to do it. But there is, I'm going to say, a responsibility on our behalf, but it's got nothing to do with working for what God has provided for. It's about a place where we live and a place where we stay. And last week I described that as the secret place, because it says here in the first verses, he who dwells in the secret place, in the shadow of the Almighty. And what I said was this, that dwelling is simply about staying put. Remember that? It means to stay put. It means to rest. It means not to move. It means to lie down. It means not a fleeting thing that we pass in and out of, but we are found resting in the secret place of the Most High. So actually, protection and safety comes from a place of intimacy with God. Do you understand that? Intimacy with God is important. Being found in the presence of God is important. Simply because that's where your strength comes from, that's where the life comes from, that's where the flow comes from, but also that's where safety and protection comes from. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly just remind you of what the secret place was. Remember, this was Pastor Prince's revelation and not mine. I wish it was, but it was awesome. What the Lord said to him was, when he was reading the psalm, was, what does this secret place mean? Because this is where the charismaniacs get a wee bit crazy. You know, we're in the secret place. Ooh. And what the flip does that mean? Because I have stood in meetings, I say this all the time, where people just, man, we were just in the secret place of God, and I felt as cold and as, like, unchristian in the middle of it all, but desperately wanting to connect with God and feel his presence and thinking, oh, how do you access this special place of protection? And then Pastor Prince says that as he goes to the Word, the Lord shows him. In general, he said, look at the law of first mention in the Bible is really important. So the first time you hear something mentioned in the Word of God, it has got of extra significance. It's called the law of first mention. And in Genesis 14, the name Elohim, he who dwells in the shadow of the Most High, supreme in power, is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 14, whenever Abraham meets Melchizedek. He's a type of Jesus. Melchizedek means the king of righteousness, and he was the king of Salem, meaning peace. So what happens is Abraham comes and makes his offerings after, and he tithes, and it talks about communion and the tithe in that chapter. And then what you have in Genesis 17 is the first mention of Almighty God, all right? The first mention of Shaddai, God Almighty. And what happens then is that the Holy Spirit started to reveal to Pastor Prince, look between the two, and what you'll find is the secret place is between these two mentions, all right? Because God mentions them in order for a particular reason. And so what you find in Genesis 15:5 is where Abraham believes God and it's credited to him as righteousness. So in that chapter, after God's supreme, what you find is that Abraham, it's the first mention of being righteous by faith and not by doing. God brings him out, remember, shows him the stars, makes him a promise and says, now if you'll believe me, you'll be righteous. All of this is yours, not by doing, but by receiving. And so he goes, he believes the Lord and he's righteous. Then in Genesis 16, you see that Abraham tries to take matters after, you know, I could preach on this for weeks, this one actually. After God speaks a word, what we tend to do is we try to take it in our own hands and help God out. God says, I'll promise to heal you, to deliver you. I'll promise to provide for you. And what we do is we go, thank you, God. That's a great promise. Now, what do I need to do? And what you find is that God had promised Abraham that he would be blessed, that he would have a great inheritance, that he would have so many people in his inheritance that he wouldn't be able to count them. And in the very next chapter, what he does is he tries to take what God has spoken into his life and do it himself. So he takes the slave woman in order to try and conceive to have a son. And Ishmael is born. And so what you find there is that there's incredible tussle from that day. And I read from Galatians 4 last week saying that whenever you take the promise of God and you try to work it out yourself, it will always result in flesh. And whenever you give birth to flesh, it will always come against the grace of God in your life. In Galatians 24, 21 to 30, in verse 28, we see this verse. Now you brothers like Isaac are children of promise. Can we put this one up, please? But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. So this is what I'm setting up today, okay? I needed to go over this again to set up the very simple point that I want to make today, is that God has spoken promises into your life, right as you speak here, and protection and safety is one of them. Protection that people in the world will have hardship and trouble, and we will experience the same, so it goes. I believe that this world is fallen and broken, and he will come back and redeem it all. But I do also understand that there is a special place for the people of God, living in the secret place of God. And what is that secret place? Number one, being righteous by faith, believing with all of your heart that there's nothing you can do to earn or to take hold of that for which Christ died to give you. You can't get healing by anything that you do. You can't be right by anything that you do. You can't be forgiven by anything that you do. You simply have to say, Lord, I will receive it. And then secondly is this, is to stay in the place where you're covered in grace, where after the word of God has come to you and told you who you are in Christ, told you what he has done for you, at that point it is staying and dwelling and resting in that place in your heart and in your mind and refusing to take into your own hands your own effort to work out the will of God in your life. Does that make sense? So the secret place of God, when you dwell in that place, being righteous by faith and nothing else, and staying covered in his grace, refusing to adopt by your own effort that for which Christ gave you freely, when you dwell in that place, the Lord says what? There's freedom and there's protection. Isn't that amazing? Now, I love this. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to make one really, really simple point today, because I want you to see it, and I want you to be really, really clear to you. This psalm was written before Jesus was born, but it talks about Jesus, and it talks about his grace. It talks about his love. You can almost miss it until you see it. And the Lord said to me this week, Andrew, I want you to read this again, and I want you to look, and I want you to compare what I ask you to do with what my responsibility is, says the Lord. Because sometimes we get our responsibilities mixed up, don't we? We start to go, God, this is my responsibility. We start to feel the pressure. We start to look at our lives and go, I need to see a change here. It may not be happening straight away, so I need to get involved and get my hands rolled up and get stuck in. And the Lord says, actually, if you would just rest a while, you will see that I will always come through. I will always be faithful. I will always heal. I will always deliver. I will always bless, because that is who I am. But it requires something of us. And the Lord this week, when I was reading this, he just said, stop, Andrew, read it. And it's something that I hadn't seen, and something actually I haven't heard anyone else say. So you're in for a bit of a treat, because what he does is he reminds you the whole way through, three times in this psalm, 16 verses, and nearly sort of equally between them. Now, it's a picture of life for me. The Lord said, this is just what life is like. He reminds you at the very start, okay? I'm supreme in position. I'm supreme in power. And all of salvation is yours. Life healing, okay? And then he goes on to explain, now, this is what I'll do. And then in the middle, he says, I need you to rest again. And he reminds us in this psalm, in three different places, to come back to the secret place. Do you know why that is? Because do you know what we do? We hear the word of the Lord. We hear the promise of God. We go, and in those moments, most of us go, isn't that awesome? I feel great. And then what do? Tomorrow's Monday, isn't it? And by Monday tea time, we fall back into the old patterns. Maybe it's Tuesday lunchtime for you guys. And we remember those verses and we go, oh no, I'm not meant to live like this, am I? Though I need to get back. And so what I think the Lord is really good at in this psalm is just bringing us back the whole way through to go, come back to the secret place. Come back to the secret place. Come back. And he's really good at reminding. He doesn't beat you and go, will you ever? You stupid. Did I not say this on Monday? You heard this on Sunday, Liz, for goodness sake. And here you are. You know, it's like, would you ever? He just gently reminds. And what he does is he reminds us in this psalm that as you dwell, he goes to work. It's a picture of you resting and him working. Isn't that awesome? It's too good to be true, in fact. I get to rest and just dwell in the fact that I'm righteous and loved. All my mistakes covered. All this goodness of God. He just says, stay there. Don't move from there in your heart, and I am working on your behalf. You rest, he works. This is awesome. Let's read it. Verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter, let me expand that from the Hebrew. He who stays put, he sticks. You who rest, you don't move, you lie down. You don't fleet in and out or pass through this space, but you're found resting in that secret place of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. El Shaddai, all powerful. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress in whom I trust. And then in verses 3 and 4, he says this, for he will deliver you. Straight away, watch. Verses 1 and 2, this is God. This is who he is. Open your mind. Open your heart. This is who I am. I'm supreme in part. Live in that space. Remind yourself, have your heart there, and then straight away he goes, He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So as you rest at the very start of this psalm, what he says is you get your heart convinced, you get your mind convinced that you are righteous by faith and covered in grace, and as you sit there, I go to work. You rest, he delivers, he covers. Do you see that? What we do is I receive, now I do, I have to rest, I have to work it out. And the Lord says, no, once you take yourself out of that place and it becomes your responsibility again, the protection is your responsibility and not mine. That's what, I'm going to explain that in 1 minute. It says here that you will find refuge. He will deliver you. He will cover you in verses 3 and 4. It says he delivers you from the snare of the fowler. This is a really interesting word because we live in a world that's very challenging, don't we? And we all have our own personal challenges. And we all have an enemy who knows every one of our weaknesses. And one of the interesting things for me is, like, the devil knows my weaknesses full well and tries to exploit them very regularly. And the word for fowler here is an experienced hunter. And what he's trying to say is this, is that you have an enemy who knows you and your weaknesses full well, who lays traps for you like an experienced hunter. But if you stay in the secret place of God, righteous by faith, he says, I'll deliver you from every well-laid trap that comes against you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? It's just absolutely fantastic. Even if the devil knows your intimate and most technicolored kind of weaknesses, he can lay all the traps that you want, but when you are safe whenever you're in the shadow of God, when you're in the shadow of the Almighty, just believe in every day, because I am righteous, he will deliver me. I get this sense all the time. I told you last week how many times I've been knocked down, but I was also thinking this week, I've been in car crashes, and not any that was caused by myself. Well, maybe one. I was the only car crash I ever was purposely involved in was I picked up a new convertible when I was in my last job in the bank, and I picked it up from Boucher Road and was driving home summer's night playing Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, blasting. Got down the road outside Stranmillis and drove straight into the back of a woman. Boom. And you know what? I knew everyone who drove past went, look at that Charlie in his convertible. You slap it up, you. And do you know, didn't have a mark on me. I remember when I was 10, being in a car that rolled near Drumbow, like rolled, properly rolled. People who were around me cut and bruised, and it was my scout leader, actually, and I walked out of it completely. You know, I understand that God has protected me the whole way through my life, and what I understand now, though, is that the traps that the enemy lays for me, I will probably never know how God has delivered me from some of them, and I didn't even know. I didn't even know. I think the Lord goes about his work quietly at times, but he's consistent and he never stops. But once you become even more aware of that, you can speak it out in faith, because you have an experienced enemy who lays traps, but you have a greater God who delivers you from them. So don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of the plans that evil men make, because with God and you resting in that place, he delivers you. It's like the word buckler here, as well, is it's derived from the verb to surround. So a buckler is like, there's two types of shields, one that went from the floor the whole way up and protected them, and then one on their arm. And so he says, your shield and your buckler, I'm going to explain a little bit more of these next week. It talks about 360-degree protection. It means that whenever you walk out of here today, the Lord protects your front, your sides, and your back. He doesn't leave you having to find a gap anywhere. The point is that whenever you're walking around, you don't, sometimes, you know, people say, you've got to watch your back. All right, just watch your back there. You don't need to watch your back because the Lord's got your back for you. What he says is, keep your eyes on me. And as you, do you know what the picture is? As you keep your eyes on God, he faces your enemies. But if you're facing your enemies, you're not facing the Lord, are you? So he says, you come to me and you stay in that place of just looking at Jesus and the righteousness and the grace that I give you. And as you stand there, you're protected. Why? Because as you face me, I face down your enemies. You see that all the way through the Bible. And so that's what Buckler talks about. Now, what I want to say is this, is that how do you stay in this place? Because I'm just going to look at the other two times where he says, come back to the secret place. You know, we talk about people falling from grace being when they fail morally. And it's got no such thing. It doesn't mean that at all. In Galatians 5, verse 4, we read the verse about those who have fallen from grace, and you fall back into works. So here's the picture for protection for a new covenant believer. is if you stay under the grace of God, if you stay in that place, there is protection for you. If you decide that you're going to come out of that place, all right? Because dwelling talks of choice. If you decide not to live mindful of the righteousness of Christ, mindful that you're covered in grace every day, but you want to take responsibility for yourself, I believe that you take yourself right out of that protection. I believe that God wants you to stay in there. I believe that's where the supernatural power of God flows. I believe that he loves it. It's not like he goes, well, you know, I believe he always works in our behalf. But that, sometimes I wonder, why is it as Christians that we see some people who profess Christianity and they get into all sorts of scrapes? I believe, actually, that it's because it's the children of grace. And the law is always, it says in Galatians 4, coming against them and sniping to get them back out to take responsibility for themselves. But actually, in grace, mindful of Christ, mindful that he carries your burdens, mindful that he is working on your behalf, there is such a place of protection there. I believe that's where it flows from. And that's why I believe he keeps saying to come back to that place. He keeps saying. In verses 9 to 11 then, he says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, that even the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. So what does he say there again? You've made, so he talks from verses 3 and 4 all the way through. Then he gets into the middle of the psalm and he goes, you've made the Lord your dwelling place. He reminds you to get back to that place. He reminds you to come back and go, am I right under the grace of God right now? Am I believing in Christ and Christ alone? Or is there something still in my heart that goes, I need to work this out for the Lord. I need to work this out because he's not going to come through. I need to be, I can't live free from fear. I can't. And so he reminds you in verse 9, and he says, if you'll do that, he says, because you do that, here's the result. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. He will command angels to guard you in all of your ways. Why? Because you've earned it? No. Because you're good? No. Why? Because simply you dwelt under the grace of God. Isn't that lovely? I rest, he works. I rest, he protects. I rest, he guards. I rest, he delivers. I rest, he has my front, my back, and my sides covered so that I can simply keep my face on Christ, knowing that he works on my behalf every day. Isn't that lovely? And so then he goes on, and next week I'm going to finish this, and I'll show you the bits in between. But just to finish, in verse 14, he goes, because he holds fast to me in love, because he does what? He holds fast to me. He stays in love. What will he do? I will deliver, says God. I will protect because he knows my name. So because you hold fast to the Lord, doing what? Working for him? Nah. Trying to please him? Nah. Saying sorry every 5 minutes? Nah. Because you simply rest in the love of God, I'll deliver and I'll protect, says God. Isn't that awesome? You see, I think that most of this happens and we don't actually know it. Do you know the word here, protect, is a Hebrew word, sogab. And what it means is to be inaccessibly high. I love this. So the sense of the word is, I will protect you because you hold fast to me in love, because you remain in my love. What I will do, it's almost like a picture of the Lord lifting you up and setting you up so high, it's inaccessible to anything else. Isn't that amazing? Like on a mantelpiece or something. You know, sometimes you do that with your kids, don't you? So sometimes I'd have Sophie, and if she's running around my feet and I need her out of the way, I'll just lift her up and set her on the kitchen table, because then she's stuck. You know what I mean? And she can't go anywhere, you know? And it's like, then please don't fall off the kitchen table. But, you know, do you ever do that where you could just sit up there a wee minute till I get my stuff done? And that's the picture of Sagab. It's like, because what? Because you hold fast to the Lord in love. This is too good to be true. Lord, what do you require from me this morning? Get up, get yourself up, and just stop and go, I am loved. I am covered in grace today. I will not take on burdens that are not mine. I refuse to be responsible for that which Christ is responsible for. It feels like, oh, that's lazy. That's not. It's actively staying in the secret place. And what happens? He lifts you up so that you're inaccessible to everything else that goes around. Do you know what I think, people? I think that most of the time that this happens, it's because I think God is working and we don't see him all the time. I think he works on our behalf, and we will never know probably till we get to heaven the times in our lives where he stepped in and delivered us. But I felt the Lord say over these few weeks, actually, you know, for the residue of fear that's in our hearts, for the residue of, will I get that disease? Will I get that, you know, will my son get knocked down? Will my wife be in a car crash? That's a real live one for me, for Penny, like, sweet mercy. And, you know, it's a joke. And, but it is true. Sometimes I joke and then I think, good Lord, how the heck does she get through? You know, it's the goodness of God. It has to be. No, but it is the goodness of God. And for her and for the other road users, you know, she's pretty good. She just gets a wee bit distracted. And but I don't want to live worried like that. And I think God's continually working. And what he wants to do in your life is more importantly, is to go, all of salvation, you see, you talk about God being your protector and your provider, but it says salvation comes. Salvation, soteria in Greek, means healing, wholeness, all your health, your provision, your blessing, your strength, your love, your joy, your peace. What happens is that flows to you whenever you rest in the secret place. So do not fall from grace this week. Don't take yourself out. Don't be tempted to go, I can do this, or I've got this. Don't be tempted to go, Lord, please, fingers crossed, will you look after my hubby this week? Don't be tempted to live like that. Be tempted to go, I'm going to stay in grace here, and just be aware that it doesn't matter where they are or what they're doing, that God has got them surrounded 360 degrees. Why? Because you simply rest. You know what I love about this? I have read books in my past which were like 17 steps to divine protection. You know, it's like get up in the morning and confess the blood of Jesus, you know, and then bind every spirit that comes your way, you know, and make sure, here's a list of all the helpful ones that we have bound in the past and intended to work for us. So if you bind those ones too, but you know what I mean? And then I was thinking about this, going, oh, I need to pray this, and I need to pray that, and I need to pray the prayer this, and the prayer that. It's a wee bit like the Protestant Hail Marys, for goodness sake. I know we talk about Catholics and all of this, but you know, sometimes as prods, particularly in the Charismatic Church, we're just as bad. Oh, I'll do this, do that, and have I done that, and have I covered this? And you know what the Lord showed me? It was actually whenever the children of Israel were about to leave, and it was the last plague, and the angel of death passes over them. And what did they do? They simply put the blood of the Lamb on the doors. They went inside, went to sleep, and got up in the morning completely fit and healthy, ready to be delivered. Isn't that awesome? They didn't get up and go, oh, let's just north, south, and east, or west, pray the angel of death goes over us, and oh, they rested under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. I just think that is awesome. Went to their beds, had a good night's kip, and woke up fully fit and fully healthy. Because as they rested in that place, the Lord healed them, made them fit and strong for their journey. It actually says that nobody left Egypt after hundreds of years of slavery with any sickness in their body. There was not one, Psalm 105 says, that was weak of knee. He restored them and healed them, and they were fit and ready to walk into their inheritance. Why? Because they rested in the shadow of the Almighty. So my encouragement for you this week is simply this. You'll be protected and set on high and inaccessible. Why? Because you love him. You don't have to do anything for God. I think God's continual reminder for us is that everything comes from staying in that place. I want you just to have a bit of an itinerary or a bit of a check on your own heart, a bit of a think and say, Lord, here's how it works for me. Whenever I feel pressure, do you know what I mean by that? When something comes into your head, and you get a reaction inside, and you go, uh-oh, I feel like it's either your chest gets a bit tight or you get a sense of worry. Does that happen to anyone? Yeah. Or is it just me? Yeah. Oh, thank God. Okay, because sometimes I feel like the only non-Christian in the room in this place, because you go, oh, no, brother. Never felt that before in my puff. So here's what I do, is that reaction in me tells me one thing. I'm responsible and not the Lord. That's my body and my spirit tell me, actually, whenever I feel the pressure of responsibility, because even where you have responsibility, the Lord says his burden is light. So whenever I feel it getting a little, you know, and you understand what I mean by that, what I do is I stop, and this week I have stopped and gone, I can't do it. But more importantly, I refuse to do it. I'm going back under grace. And as I sit and I'm mindful of Jesus, mindful of looking at him, I know that he is looking over my shoulder to face down every enemy that I have. I stay in that place. Jesus and his work. Jesus and his love. Jesus and his grace. And then I just get so excited about him working nonstop, 24 hours a day. As I sleep, he protects. As I walk, he goes before me. As I walk through somewhere, he goes behind me to protect me from whatever I've walked through. That's the God that we have this morning, isn't he lovely?